troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright light. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy sea, I cried to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land, leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more.
Good evening, this is Chris from WatchmanWeekly.com, and we have a kind of a stopgap show here tonight. It's just myself. I'm going to just make some updates, some explanations, some sharing some hopes and vision, and hopefully teach the Word of God, stuff that the Lord has been showing me, stuff that I've been wrestling with in the Spirit, seeking understanding. Difficult subject matter, Scripture applied to the day, you know, the gross darkness on the land, and disturbing, you know, very disturbing conditions. But our hope is in the Word of God. It's in our Savior, in the finished work on the cross, the covenant of promise, the promise of salvation that God gave to Adam and Eve in the garden, that same promise that in spite of Adam's sin, immediately God did provide a way for restoration of that relationship, that union between God and man that was severed in the garden due to you know, the iniquity that was allowed to grow in the Garden of Eden, has really all but run its course today, as we're seeing the end of the age, the world, if you will, as far as we know it. And it's very exciting. You know, it's very exciting for God's people, for the people who are called by His name, who do humble themselves and pray and seek His face. But unfortunately today, in the time of gross darkness, the truth of Scripture has been all but diminished in the corporate religious structure. This very covenant that the Lord made with man. Actually, I'll correct that. The promise that God made with man in the garden, the promise of a Savior, that He would put enmity between the woman's seed and Satan's seed, and that ultimately the story of the Bible is that uh, that sin is destroyed, but the process that the Lord has laid out for us, for lack of a better term, the salvation plan is so different than what is presented by the religious system, and that the covenant that does carry this promise of salvation, has been attacked. Satan knows the doctrines to attack. We've been over that and over that in our shows. And as my growth and understanding continues, seeking the Lord, seeking the Father's will and not my own, you know, which is basically what I see is our purpose here on our journey through this spiritual wilderness that is planet Earth today, as we struggle to pursue our own desire, our own will, and put the Father's will first. This is what we really see that Jesus did for us. He taught us how to do the Father's will. I mean, Jesus came to reveal the Father, and his life was an example of how to live in submission to God the Father. And then in doing so, you know, we receive the abundant life, the promise. This promise of salvation is just a wonderful deal, if you will, because it is a deal. And in spite of today's modern gospel message that has done wickedly against the covenant, as it says in Daniel, you know, this is what we see today. We see the religious system, the message coming from the pulpits of a cheap grace gospel message, and that we see in John chapter 1, that through Moses came the law, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And this is the problem. The ingredient of truth is left out of the message, and that this is the dynamic that we see taking place in today's harlot church, as they have forsaken this covenant. They're doing wickedly against the covenant, and those who do wickedly against the covenant are corrupted with flatteries, which is you know, the account of society today. You know, all the listeners who have followed us through the, you know, it's been a year and a half now, and our extensive teachings on the dynamics of the beast kingdom, which has been pretty much running the show since World War II. And we see in you know, 2 Timothy chapter 3 that perilous times will come, and that the last generation will be you know, lovers of pleasure, high-minded, and this is a perfect description of the baby boom generation, which is where we find ourselves today. You know, 60 years after the supposed victory of good over evil, as far as we've been taught, stemming from World War II, you know, few realize that this is the period of time when the diverse fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, the pale horse whose rider is death and hell, has been running the show. And since the time of World War II, we have seen society's moral integrity completely destroyed, and unfortunately this is in the church. Because today the church, the body that calls itself the church, the professing Christians, are all but indistinguishable from the world in our attempt to reach the lost. Not to say that that is not a noble and, you know, worthy goal, but the compromises that have been made to fill these church buildings with a diminished gospel message, in that you know, we've forsaken Matthew 13:33 in instruction to purge leaven from God's house. It's been a dominant false doctrine in these end times that God is more interested in church growth than he is in purity. And as a result, we have a gigantic religious system that has forsaken this covenant, the covenant of obedience, and, you know, the if-then aspect of our relationship with God. And as we have experienced the call, as all of us have in different different examples or different scenarios, have heard the call to come out of her, come out of her, my people, as the Lord, in our own individual testimony. You know, if you're here listening tonight, something has drawn you to this show, and to the point where hopefully you're able to receive these things, you know, these challenging words of the notion that what seems to be a abundant, prosperous religious system is in fact the whore of Revelation. And you know, this is very disturbing, challenging words. And I'm going to just kind of share from my heart tonight, you know, what I've personally been through, what we've been through as a group on Watchmen Weekly, and you know, where we're headed, and just to you know, maybe answer some questions, as we've, you know, you've seen some you know, break in our routine here, as we've been pretty diligent putting these shows out. At least once a week, not to mention the breakout shows that Bill and Bob have done, and, you know, I've managed to get a few out myself. But you know, we've had some internal struggles here at Watchmen Weekly, and I was just going to you know, share from the heart about that, maybe answer some questions, and then you know, show you where we're going to go, and probably do a little study tonight. Because what I'm talking about here, this information we're sharing, this notion that we're out in the wilderness, these lone voices that we find ourselves, you know, our words are falling on deaf ears today. You know, I'm going to just show some examples of this, that we're not alone. You know, that we've been, that we're only, you know, being obedient to the Lord, just like his servants, the prophets of days of old, and that you know, our struggles today are no different than Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. You know, we all went through the same thing, and that's why the title of the show tonight is "Sick to My Stomach," because I'm here to tell you, you know, I'm sick to my stomach over this stuff. I mean, this stuff is very, very challenging. And especially the information that's come out of this Revelation chapter 11 study. You know, we've got to realize the reality of where we are and what the Lord has entrusted us with. because the stuff we're talking here is, you know, life or death. You know, it's salvation, eternity in paradise, or damnation and an eternity in hell. You know, as these words that the Lord has given us, as people respond or reject them, it is a matter of life or death. You know, it says that you know, like Daniel, and you know, we got to understand the context here of what we're studying in Revelation chapter 11. You know, as we're really searching to assign the identities to the two witnesses, and what's really taking place right there is we're seeing dead bodies and you know, bodies laying in the streets and you know, these bodies standing upon their feet and causing great fear upon people that witness that. And we're seeing this in context of the previous chapter, you know, in Revelation chapter 10, you know, when, you know, the angel of the Lord, and I went up to the angel and said unto him, give me that little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before people and nations and tongues and kings. And this is what's taking place, folks. This is what's happening. And these studies, this truth, this understanding, is this information in this little book. And my heart is, my vision is, as these weeks go by now, whatever does become of the Watchman Weekly, as far as the studies go, we're going to get this information out one way or the other. But I'm here to tell you, you know, we've had a struggle with this bittersweet information, because it is absolutely bitter in the stomach. It makes you sick. As really the bottom line of all this is, where this is headed, as we're progressing through Revelation. We came out of the serpents and scorpions, spiritual serpents and scorpions, the false teachers, the false doctrine that are there to bite us, to sting us. You know, as soon as we get off the straight and narrow path, just like it did in the day of Exodus, as we've seen that the book of Revelation is a modern time Exodus of God's spiritual Israel. The spiritual chosen people are sojourning through this wilderness of serpents and scorpions on our way to the spiritual promised land, to Mount Zion, to Jerusalem above. And as we work through this understanding, this truth, with our finite minds, you know, it's tough. It's tough stuff. Tough stuff. But, you know, I was just reading in the account of Jacob, you know, wrestling with the man, you know, and you know, dislocating his hip. And just the picture that's presented there about what this takes for us. Jacob wanted it, man. He wanted that blessing. He wanted it. And he fought all night for it. And God gave it to him, you know. And there's some, you know, the symbology there where Jacob became Israel. Basically where Jacob became born again. And, you know, this whole dynamic just repeats over and over in our life, in our day. And, you know, the struggle that it is to receive the Holy Spirit and to keep it, you know, called, chosen, and faithful. You know, we talk about that often, that it's about, you know, it says that many are called, but few are chosen. Well, you know, I'm going to take that another step that, you know, I believe all are called in one way or another, you know, in their life. And it's the elect, which is something that I wanted to share a little. I mean, this might just be me being a bonehead or something here, but it just dawned on me what that really means about being one of God's elect. You know, I've always thought it was a predestined group of people that God, has set aside for Himself. But you know, you think about election. You know, you think about what is an election. You know, election is a choice, is a choosing. You know, it's when you're called, and it's the seeds that fall along the road. You know, some take root into fertile soil. You know, some are eaten by the fowls of the air. But I mean, this is the dynamic going on here with the elect, the election. You know, it says be sure of your election. And I don't know, it just hit me about this week that this is about a choice. You know, this is about God choosing us after He sees us. You know, prove that we're worthy. And I don't know what's going on today as far as all the attacks on doctrine. You know, I see, you know, even in the remnant body, I see this constant attack on those that are preaching a works salvation. And I don't see that at all. I don't know if I'm just oblivious to it or not. But I see quite the contrary. I see a salvation message that is, you know, a cheap grace message that fails to address the requirement of obedience. You know, the condition of the covenant. And, you know, as we say, you know, those that do wickedly against the covenant, you know, He will corrupt by flatteries. And, you know, I see clearly He has corrupted the body, the house of God, the flatteries. And who's He? Well, you know, I'm seeing that's been a big, as I said, folks, this is a shoot from the hip show tonight. I'm just kind of getting some stuff off my chest, sharing, you know, kind of giving me the opportunity to move on from here. But, you know, I'm just sharing what the Lord's been showing me over the last couple months, you know, through some, you know, struggles that we've had. You know, I'm just as encouraged as ever, but also humbled. And you know, and part of me is, you know, sick because I know the reality of what this truth means and what this understanding means to, you know, people I love, people I want to see make it. But anyway, you know, get back to, I said, He will corrupt with flatteries. And I've always wondered, who's this He? You know, and I've got a pretty clear understanding of who He is in this context. And I see it as the dragon. You know, I see the Satan's identity when he's, you know, spoken of as the dragon. Is it just, you know, this is something the Lord's just been speaking to me about. And when you type in the dragon into a computer Bible, and you search the word dragon, you watch the pattern of where this dragon shows up. And, you know, you see it in the time of Daniel, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah. You know, at the time when the apostasy, you know, the idolatry, you know, came upon Israel. During those times. And then you also see this dragon showing up again in Revelation, you know, in Revelation chapter 12, which, you know, hello, this is exactly where we are. You know, we're studying Revelation 11. You know, we actually see the dragon showing up in Revelation 9, you know, the fire coming out of his mouth, out of his nostrils. I'm paraphrasing there. I can't remember the exact wording, but, you know, we talked about that in a show a couple times back. But you're seeing this identity as a dragon, and really I see it as one of the three aspects of the unholy Trinity, you know, the beast, the false prophet, and the dragon. But I see clearly, you know, as the dragon is when Satan is sitting in the temple of God, showing himself to be God. You know, when Satan is sitting upon the mount of the congregation, you know, to the sides of the north. You know, like what we see in Isaiah chapter 14. And this is where, you know, where we are today. Because, you know, there's just such a distorted understanding of that portion of scripture in 2 Thessalonians about the man of sin, that son of perdition. Well, this is the guy who's corrupting the covenant, who's corrupting with flatteries. And this is how Satan has accomplished his goal, for God's purpose, of course, because you know, Satan absolutely answers to the Lord. And this deception is all part of God's plan. You know, we've been over this and over this. It's his mechanism of separation, because you know, his sheep hear his voice, and his sheep are not deceived. But you know, to escape this deception today is you know, a full-time job. But you know, I'm gonna, we'll finish up the show tonight with a look at this. You know, how the accounts of these prophets and you know, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, John, that we're all sick. You know, this truth that the Lord had them, you know, bringing forth, you know, caused them some tremendous grief. I mean, it did to all the prophets. You know, but I'm just going to go over a few accounts of that. You know, at the end of the show tonight. Whereas, you know, the Lord told Jeremiah, you know, don't look at their faces. And, you know, this is tough stuff. And it's part of the problems that we've had, because this information that we are, you know, been stewards of, that the Lord's given us, you know, responsibility for, is brutal. It's brutal. Because we're, you know, speaking truth into a world that has fallen into complete delusion, you know, strong delusion, the snare, the hour of temptation, it says, that comes upon them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. And, you know, we're finding ourselves, you know, redeemed from the earth, and we're not the earth dwellers. You know, you know, for some reason, the Lord has accounted us worthy to escape these things. And do we understand that? No. You know, why? You know, we just can't put we don't have answers for this. Why? But, you know, I don't take it any further than that. I just accept it, and I praise the Lord, you know, every day. But, you know, you wouldn't help but, couldn't help but notice that I'm here all alone tonight. Today, it's the middle of the day here, Thursday, what is this, June, or January, I don't know, 18th or something like that, 2012, and, you know, we've had some internal struggles on the show. You know, we were, you know, this whole thing started when Bill, piqued my interest in saying that, you know, if we could get a hold of Revelation 11, I think that's going to be a key. And I agreed, you know, and I was challenged by that. And, you know, we dove into that, you know, after some, you know, plenty of prep. I shouldn't say dove into it. We certainly prepared. And absolutely, as we started really digging into those challenging verses of Revelation chapter 11, you know, it just opened up a whole new level of understanding, or layer, if you will, as we refer to, you know, the scripture. But you know, and along the way, you know, we're just feeling some internal struggles, as far as you know, Bob wasn't real comfortable with the book of Revelation. And I'm certainly not going to criticize that at all, because Bob is very cautious, you know, and I can't say anything, you know, against that. But, you know, it's a struggle between not being afraid to say something that you might err, as opposed to not saying something that is important to get out, you know, something that the Lord has you know, shown you that you know, this is the point of what you know, like Ezekiel, Jeremiah are saying. You know, if they're a watchman and they don't you know, tell what they've seen, then you know, their blood is on your hands. You know, but so it's a dilemma. You know, this is the perplexity that we're in. You know, the Lord said in the Olivet Discourse that there would be perplexity. And this is part of it. And you know, so that was a struggle, and at the same time, you know, we're dealing with the struggles with the direction that Randy has been taking the threshing floor, and you know, I'm just going to say that I have not felt released to abandon Randy, as I've been challenged as everybody else has about some of the information he's been bringing out. But we got to remember one thing too, and this is something that I just know, and I'm just sharing from my heart tonight, folks. So, you know, when we the Lord put it on my heart to possibly, you know, be in a position to do a radio show. You know, it became a vision for me. You know, a dream. You know, it's Bob, Bill, and myself. We met each other on Watchmen Cry forum, and you know, we were just you know, getting in all kinds of trouble over there. We ended up all three of us, you know, one voluntarily and two, you know, not voluntarily, were, you know, kicked off that forum. You know, for speaking truth. You know, for speaking this difficult information. But that, you know, it bound us together, because you know, we teach that in Isaiah 28 it says the hail will sweep away the lies. You know, and this is an absolute dynamic that I see, the hail as persecution, as this conflict that we receive from putting out this truth. You know, we were waking up, you know, as the Lord was working on us like this, you know, in our lives. You know, the Lord's just revealing this spiritual truth to us through this time. You know, it brought us together, and we were just, you know, praising the Lord as far as, you know, taking over this aspect of the threshing floor ministry. And, you know, I kind of had this more personally, but I thought it was a chance for Randy to get out and explore areas the Lord was drawing him. And you know, it goes without saying that this, some of the stuff that Randy's been getting into has been very challenging. And I'm right there to say, you know, I agree. And you know, it's been very divisive. You know, and I'm not going to, you know, make any judgments sitting here right now. But the bottom line is, I have not felt released to abandon Randy. And because of that, I've taken a lot of flack myself. And I've just felt that we're going to probably see more of what he's been researching make sense to us eventually. So I've just been waiting, and I'm here to tell you it's already happening to me, because I have seen some stuff that he's been teaching. I'm not in a position to teach it. I'm absolutely you know, focused on the King James Bible and bringing out the spiritual understandings that the Lord's opening up to me there. But there's more here than we've been taught. It meets the eye. And I think that if people would just wait and see, you know, where Randy ends up, we might just be surprised. And that's all I'm going to say about that right now. I stay in contact with Randy. I love him. He was a person that that was very instrumental in my waking up, the work that he and Sue did with the third day studies. I still to this day feel that that was probably some of the biggest work ever done. I mean, I'll tell you, I liken that work to the, you know, for this time equal to, but a very significant work of God, you know, not much different than the 1611 King James Bible. I mean, that's how big I really felt it was, as far as the spiritual understandings, as the work that Sue and Randy did, you know, just opened Scripture to me, as I started becoming aware of the metaphors and the teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 about the celestial and the terrestrial, you know, the physical and the spiritual, and that there's a physical sun, a physical moon, and a physical stars, and there's also a spiritual. And as we see that after the cross, the first and second Adam, you know, the teaching of the physical race of the Jewish people carrying the seed line, and Jesus became a quickening spirit. What that's teaching there, you know, it's huge, and it's missed. You know, the harlot church system is missing all that, as the church system today has got their eyes on the physical, and they're looking to the Middle East for what every missile installation that goes in on the border of Iran, trying to find out where that fits into the Gog Magog war, where they don't, they fail to understand that the Gog Magog war is a spiritual battle. And right now, through our time of repositioning here and challenging issues, like what I just shared, you know, concerning Randy and the Threshing Floor Ministry, we've started a new blog, and it's called sounddoctrine.org. Sound Doctrine with 1D. There's a link to it now on the site. And feeling a need to have a place for sound doctrine, you know, written studies as an oasis to send people to. You know, that'll be a tool, you know, for Watchman Weekly to hang your hat on. You know, it should just be maybe, if you will, like a encyclopedia of doctrine, as we're going to work through these important doctrinal issues. And there's a couple of really good studies up there right now. You know, Bill's contributed a couple. I did a study on the Gog Magog understanding with spiritual glasses on, what the Lord showed me there is you find that Gog Magog have armor on, you know, in Ezekiel 38 you see him with pretty much the same armor that we see in Ephesians chapter 6. And it dawned on me, my gosh, what's going on here? And here, they have pretty much the same armor that we have in Ephesians chapter 6, but there's no truth. There's no loins girt with truth, which is a signature of the covenant. This covenant is just everywhere. And as my studies have continued, you're going to see that now, you know, in the months to come. I mean, that's all there is in Scripture, metaphorically, is the covenant. And, the fact that God's people abuse this covenant relationship. They trample the Son of God underfoot, which is what's happening, by willfully sinning against the covenant. This covenant that gives us victory over sin. You know, not to say that we're self-righteous or that we are being saved by our works. Heaven forbid, we're not teaching that. But we do teach that it's those who keep God's commandments are the ones that make it. And it's not the fact that we keep it in our own strength, but this covenant written on our heart, you know, this circumcision. Circumcision is the everlasting covenant. And now, Paul made it very clear that this everlasting covenant is now written on our heart. And that, you know, we have the ability to have victory over this sin. And that's the point of this, you know. And we see, you know, and now with the information that we're bringing out here in Revelation 11, 12, 13, 14, you know, we're seeing the saints, the servants, the prophets, and the saints, you know, preaching this message of the everlasting gospel at the end of the age. And what's that all about? Well, it's because the gospel that was preached from the cross didn't last. You know, it's been diminished. You know, and we see that clearly as the restrainer. You know, the he who letteth let in 2 Thessalonians. You know, as this gospel message did keep Satan bound. Satan was bound at the cross. And he's been released from his prison. Because the true gospel, the everlasting gospel, the gospel of the everlasting covenant has been diminished to where its power is gone. And then we see this clearly is when Satan is unbound from his prison. He's released from the bottomless pit. Yeah, and this is what we see today as these locusts, scorpions, coming from the bottomless pit, smoke. Smoke is the Lord's anger. And this is judgment. You know, this is the fifth trumpet, you know, coming up on the land. And that the locusts, the locusts of false doctrine, the canker worm, the palmer worm, the great army, you know, it's the Gog Magog army. Because you see in Joel chapter 2 that the all the different locusts and the army are all considered the same entity. Joel chapter 2. And I bring that out in that Gog Magog study. It's an excellent study, if I do say so myself. I mean, it was just a day I had that I had so much bottled up inside of me, and one thing that the Lord has really shown me is this: is the Gog Magog Joel modern day manifestation. And so I just had a chance to really get it out. You know, I had my little laptop that I had given to my daughter for a couple months, and I got her a new one for her birthday, so I got mine back, and I was just able to sit there quiet. My little boy was with me for the day, and in between, you know, hanging out with him, the Lord just put this scripture together. You know, it started with that connection with the Ephesians armor. You know, being the armor that we have to battle the Gog-Magog war. Because this battle, this Gog-Magog war is in the spiritual realm. It's not, you know, in Russia and Israel. Yes, it comes against Israel. It comes against spiritual Israel. It comes against the house of God. And, you know, so this is where we are. And so, you know, getting back to the struggles we've had with Watchman Weekly, you know, this thing has been building as far as, you know, Bob and Bill see Randy quite a bit differently than me. And, you know, I just, it's just been a real struggle, you know, because I love everybody. I love them all. I love Bob, Bill, Randy. And, it's been challenging to me, but I've just been, you know, seeking the Lord on it, and I'm doing what I'm hearing the Lord tell me to do. So I'm sticking with Watchman Weekly here. We're going to keep it going. We're going to keep this ministry going. And for those that feel that Randy, you know, have written off Randy and as apostate and a heretic, well, I don't agree with you. You know, I'm not going to embrace some of this crazy stuff that Randy has brought out. But I have to give Randy a lot of credit for asking questions that other people aren't asking. And I'll tell you right now, there's some stuff that Randy's learning that is going to challenge all of us. And, you know, Randy could have chosen to just stay quiet and study all this on his own. But, you know, he's in the way they've done everything. You know, Sue and Randy did the same thing with the Third Day shows. They kind of just, you know, floated without a net. And they just brought out these studies as the Lord... you know, open things up. And did they make mistakes? Yes. Do I make mistakes? Yes. And I, as I struggle with this, I just realize that this is what the Lord gives us discernment for. And, you know, we say it over and over again, these studies that we bring out here on Watchman Weekly, you know, don't take any of this stuff, you know, without, you know, studying to show yourself approved. You know, be the good Bereans that we're called to be. And check the scripture. Oh, excuse me. Let me get a drink of water here real quick. But, you know, we're admonished to, you know, search the scriptures to see if it was so, like the good Bereans did. And, you know, this is what we all have to do. And, you know, there's nothing forcing anybody to listen. And if, you know, this is offensive, well, then fine, you know. But I'm just going to keep plugging here, because I'll tell you, I'm just ready to explode with the stuff the Lord's been showing me. And I'll tell you where, you know, and it's all coming out of this Revelation 11 study. Revelation 11 is in the smack of, in the middle of the book of Revelation, and it's kind of like a spiral as we're seeing the, I think, you know, the information in the book of Revelation basically sets the course for the end of the age, you know. And, you know, we're just here to help you find your place in it. And, you know, we see in Revelation chapter 15, it's those who had victory over the beast. You know, the ones that make it. And here we are right now. You know, little do people realize that certainly the Christian church has no clue how they are deeply immersed in the beast and false prophet reign. Right now, today. I mean, this thing's fully manifested. And as the Christian church is looking off in the distance, you know, they missed this thing 5 mile exits back. So, anyway, you know, this is kind of what's been going on inside of Watchman Weekly. And then another big issue is that the doctrine of the 144,000 has always been a touchy subject. And, you know, out of respect to Bob, I've been kind of tiptoeing around it, because Bob's had a lot of has a conviction about it as far as what he's seen. And I don't minimize what he's seen at all. But you know, we have seen people, you know, pride welling up, and people, you know, claiming, you know, outright and preaching that they are 144,000. And you know, we've seen it get a lot of people into trouble, and we certainly don't want to be one of those. And am I 144,000? All I can say is, from what I've learned, I hope so. You know, I hope so. Am I now? I don't know. Is this it now? Are we evolving from the two witnesses into the 144,000? Is it the other way around? I'm not sure. You know, it's really tricky. And this is why Revelation 11 is so hard. I know I'm testifying. I know I'm getting in a heck of a lot of trouble by speaking the truth. I'm causing a lot of fear. I know I was a pile of dead bones, you know, laying in the city. Until the Lord breathed life back into me. This all happened to me. That I know. You know, which line in Revelation 11 is that? I don't know. And as again, you know, we just, it's just so much easier to step back and just kind of look at the big picture. But what we are seeing here is some bittersweet information progressing as we work our way through the book of Revelation. And there's a process taking place here as the this truth is being revealed to the Lord's servants, the prophets, the saints. These are the identities you're seeing in Revelation 11. This truth is spreading. You know, it's spreading through the harlot system. And you know, something you see in the Gog Magog war. It's a it's a war of words. You know, the words that come out of the mouth of the, you know, false prophet, which is the church, and the words that come out of the, you know, God's elect are the, is where the, you know, the lightning is, you know, where the collision of the truth and the lies is where the war is. That's where the battle is. And, you know, we see these references to, you know, the false prophets today. You know, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they were drawn swords. That's Psalm 55:21. I mean, what does that sound like today? You know, it sounds like the modern Christian church. You know, words softer than oil were drawn swords. And when we hear reference to the, you know, the dragon, you know, overcoming them by the sword, you know, that's you know, reference to deception. You know, the flood out of the dragon's mouth, you know, overcoming the saints. And, you know, this is all brutal stuff because it's happening right now. It's all taking place right now. And, you know, it's our goal to help you find your place in it so that you are able to escape, you know, escape the indignation of the Lord, because the Lord is about his business of making things right. And, you know, we end up with... And by the way, there the next Revelation chapter 11 study is, you know, it's in the notebook. There's still some more, you know, more to bring out there, but stay tuned. It should be happening here pretty soon. I'm hoping I get Bill to join me with it. But you know, and at the same time, Bill's struggling with all this too. What does he do? Does he, you know, stay connected to Watchmen Weekly and, you know, and in effect stay somewhat connected to the Threshing Floor ministry? You know, he's wrestling with that, you know, and one of the big issues there is with, you know, Randy has been exploring outside texts. You know, he's looked at some of the Dead Sea Scroll material, and you know, it brings about a lot of conflict. And myself, you know, I'm still of the King James only camp, believe me. I mean, I'm still there, because I can do everything I can do to even try to get the understanding that I'm finding here. But this is where I'm at on my journey here. And am I embracing you know, the Book of Thomas, the Book of Enoch? No, I'm not. But I will listen to something somebody says to me about it, and I have my discernment, and it's actually kind of fun, you know, hearing an account of Jesus from somewhere else than the four Gospels that we've been so indoctrinated with. So, hey, I'm not afraid to listen and consider. And plug it into my own discernment, because you know, I'm at the point where, you know, I've learned to trust my discernment, and that anything that can come in the way of you know, getting in the way of God's revelation to me, that's when I know there's a problem. And as long as I, you know, still feel the Lord revealing His truth to me, you know, supernaturally, you know, as the, you know, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is understanding. I mean, there's manifestations of healing and physical things like that, but, I mean, the main point of God's outpouring of the Holy Spirit is in our understanding. As these words on these pages that we've been reading for how many years, you know, come alive when the Holy Spirit reveals it to you. And, you know, that's what's driving me and continues to drive me. And then, you know, bringing it out in these studies is what allows me to continue as I, you know, get full. And I have to empty out what the Lord's shown me. And I'm doing it here on the show, on the ministry. And then it allows me to continue on. you know, I'm just at times I'm shaking when I get a hold of some this thing and where this is headed. And the reason it's so exciting is because it's here. And as we see this information coming out, and really ultimately when we hit Revelation chapter 13 again, you know, we're going to end up in Revelation 13 again. And I'm of the mind that the information in Revelation 13 is the bittersweet scroll, the truth that is Revelation chapter 13. You know, and the deep, deep metaphoric understanding of the little horn, the lion, the bear, the leopard, the beast up out of the sea, the beast out of the earth. You know, it's just fantastic. It's just incredible. It's here. The earth dwellers, them that dwell on the earth, apostate church is completely entrenched in this thing, and they can't see it. They're looking at it as a future event. They don't realize that they're completely entangled in this thing right now. And you know, this is part of the thing I've struggled with this this bitter information. You know, is the tangled mess that is Christian doctrine, the preconceived notions that we all have, being indoctrinated by this system. You know, these comic books that have taught us end time theology that are just nonsense, just garbage. You know, throw away your comic books. You know, it's a struggle. It's a struggle. But then it all gets back to the anchor, and that anchor we know is Jesus and the rock. But how do we know Jesus? We know him through his covenant. You know, the covenant relationship that we're in with him, or that we have available to us. You know, few realize that the understanding of the covenant. And it's only now something I've taken for granted, and basically minimized. You know, its importance, I have to admit. But when we understand the dynamics of the covenant, and you know what it took for the Lord to be able to write the covenant on our heart. You know, when Jesus sealed the covenant, when he confirmed the covenant on the cross, sealed it in his blood, you know, making it available so that we can have the law written on our heart. And when we know that all the commandments get down to two, you know, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, when we have those two commandments written on our heart, you know, life is good. You know, we're living life in God's Sabbath rest, and having power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and nothing will by any means hurt us. And you know, we've seen weeks past that hurt is deception. You know, the Lord told the disciples that nothing would hurt them, but they all died. They all got killed. They were all martyrs except for one. And so what did that mean? Well, the hurt, you know, I'm seeing clearly is the hurt of deception, of being hurt by the dragon, the words that come out of the dragon's mouth, the lies. And then, you know, with this understanding of the covenant, it just this stuff just gets deeper and deeper and richer, you know, we see the reference to the covenant with death and hell in Isaiah 28, you know, those who have made lies their refuge, and in falsehoods have hid themselves. You know, when the overflowing scourge comes, it will surely pass by us. You know, well, there's the rapture cult right there. You know, these people that are believing, putting their hope in this false doctrine of a rapture, that they are so high-minded that they think that they're exempt from God's judgment. And, you know, they don't realize that they're under God's judgment because they're not doing what Isaiah 28 was, you know, telling them to do, studying to show themselves approved, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And this is what we have today. You know, we've got these diminished Bibles, diminishing the truth of Scripture, and, you know, Satan's accomplished his goal. But, you know, we know that it's going to be a supernatural event, a supernatural process, if you will, that is going to restore, you know, the portion of Jacob that is not like them, as it says. You know, but it's going to take Jacob's trouble to do it. And this is the information we're bringing out. You know, it's not easy. And anyway, we're, you know, so this is the reason we're, you know, you're seeing these changes at Watchman Weekly. You know, Bob has moved on to, I think he's helping Pete Wilson out on truthinscripture.com. And, you know, God bless him. And I just, you know, love Bob. And I will always, you know, consider him a friend. And but we've, you know, parted company here on Watchman Weekly for now, you know. And that's all I can say. Because, you know, the 144,000 is a very difficult doctrine. But, you know, I'm here to say in my studies now, it basically all gets down to, you know, that's where you want to be. You want to be 144,000 at the end of this thing, because that's New Jerusalem. You know, that's the, you know, New Jerusalem, which is, this is why it's so tricky, so deep, and so spiritual. You know, New Jerusalem is the second coming. It's when New Jerusalem comes down. You know, it's this new and everlasting covenant that has fully developed, in that, you know, the foundation is Jesus. You know, the cornerstone is Jesus. The foundation is the apostles. And the walls are built with the 144,000, which is just a symbolic way of presenting the perfected saints. Because 144,000 is a, you know, is a symbolic number, 12 times 12 times 1,000, you know, which is 1,000 is perfection. And, you know, somehow, some way is where we want to be at the end of this thing. And, you know, it's just, we have to, you know, be so aware of what's happened here as far as Satan and what he's done. You know, he's attacked all the doctrines that he knew mattered. You know, I say that the, you know, one of Satan's biggest moves of all time was at the end of the 1800s when he you know, basically brought out, you know, another gospel in the three big cults, two of which are well known, and the third is, you know, people fail to realize it's the magnitude of its influence. But the three cults, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses, where today, you know, the identity of the 144,000 has been completely distorted. So you say 144,000 to the average Christian, and he thinks it's some lunatic knocking on his front door, you know. And it works. Satan successfully demonized that sound doctrine. And we've got the Mormons over here, you know, demonizing the identity of Ephraim and Manasseh, you know, as the physical lost tribes that they claim to be, you know, not realizing the spiritual understanding of who they are. Amazing, just amazing that this is who Satan went after. But, you know, Ephraim and Manasseh, you know, we see as a signature of the multitude in the Valley of Decision. The multitudes in the Valley of Decision. You know, the ones that, you know, this is what this is about. The multitudes in the Valley of Decision, coming to the decision to prove themselves faithful to the Lord. And hopefully are chosen by the Lord. And, you know, and then thirdly, the third cult that completely consumed, kidnapped Christianity was the Darby Schofield dispensationalism, which is really the monster today, because this is the dominant false thought in the church, in that, you know, what Satan did is he ripped apart the two sticks, you know, as the you know, he created, you know, there's one shepherd and one flock. And we see and this is where the next study is going to go. It's going to tie right into Ezekiel 37. And, you know, amazingly, you know, Ezekiel's telling the story, the same story told over and over. But when we see Satan successfully splitting apart the house of God back into two identities, you know, as far as the church and Israel, when in fact, you know, the church and Israel are the same. You know, there's one shepherd, one flock. And you know, this is the big one. This is the bomb that's got basically the world basically ready to explode, as you know, Christians supporting this false doctrine has got them, you know, basically is basically causing their own demise. You know, where this is all going to end up, as we, you know, today are sitting here watching the Middle East with bated breath. But I'm still maintaining today that the what we see in the Middle East is the Knights of Malta, the whole harlot system, you know, manifest, basically counterfeiting Bible prophecy, in that they are, you know, creating these physical outworkings that are nothing more than a shell game. And I'm sorry to diminish it to that. And, you know, as far as understanding God's purpose for this, as far as, you know, all eyes, you know, aiming, you know, bearing down on Benjamin Netanyahu right now, you know, thinking that this is all Bible prophecy, you know, manifesting. But I as far as every day I study and study, I just see it all as a big hoax, a big farce, the biggest hoax ever imposed on mankind. Not to diminish the fact that it's, you know, we're talking nuclear weapons, you know, basically ready to take the, you know, destroy the entire world if that's going to happen. But I don't know, when I check my scripture, you know, the Lord says that there'll be, you know, a planting season, you know, and all that right up to the end, you know. And I see the only thing that matters to us as Christians is end times remnant, you know, trekking through the wilderness, is that this is spiritual. The spiritual understandings of all this is the spiritual truth that affects our soul and expects and the stuff that affects where we spend our eternity. And whether, you know, Obama supports Netanyahu or that whole rhetoric, you know, not to mention they both take their orders from the same, you know, Council on Foreign Relations. So it's just all a big, big time wrestling theater, you know, hitting each other over the head with balsa wood chairs. You know, what does that have to do with our salvation? Nothing. Nothing. You know, whether Obama insults Netanyahu or Netanyahu wants to invade Iran by himself, it doesn't matter. None of that matters at all. But what does matter is that the Army of the North, which is the army in Joel, the army of false doctrine, the army of deception that comes against Israel, that comes against spiritual Israel. And unfortunately, you know, leaves her naked. You know, when we see, you know, the end times church, you know, the church of Laodicea is increasing goods and in need of nothing. And, you know, she is left there naked. She's naked because she's not covered by the covenant. And this is what it means when the Lord says, depart from me, I never knew you. I knew not from whence you were. Well, what he's saying there is, you weren't positioned. You weren't, you know, in covenant. This is the problem. You know, this is the problem. This is the plumb line. You know, the covenant is the truth. You know, we need to be on the right side of the plumb line. We need to be in covenant with God. You know, it's all in Hebrews chapter 10. The whole dynamic is all right there. But, you know, this is the thing. And, you know, this is part of the stuff that we struggled with internally. And, you know, and this is why Bob is not part of the Watchman Weekly show anymore. You know, he just felt that he needed to separate from the show. And so I hope that, you know, I just hope that the Lord, you know, uses him as he has been. You know, Bob's just got wonderful insight, even though, you know, sometimes he's hard to follow. But his mind just, you know, he gets locked onto some of these identities and this, these words studies. And, you know, he's brought so much to the show. And I'm going to miss him, you know, sorely miss him. But on the other hand, I feel free, too, because, you know, it was like a subconscious undermining of the progress of this Revelation show that I was feeling. And and I'll admit that I was, you know, one that started bringing that up as we were being, you know, that we started this Revelation study, you know, a long time ago, and it just hasn't, it's taken, had a lot of setbacks, but, you know, hey, some of it's, you know, probably for God's purpose, because, you know, it's just more time that we've had to study. But I'm here to say, I think this next time we jump into 11, there's going to be a lot of neat stuff that comes out and really ties what's going on there, as these, you know, these identities are witnessing, and then they're being overcome by the beast out of the bottomless pit, and then they lie dead in the streets and they stand on their feet. And what's going on there? It's really tough stuff. But I'm getting it, you know. I'm starting to really see it, you know, what the Lord's trying to teach us there. And the best part is where it ends up, because we know where this all ends up. And it's this end time body of believers, which I believe are fully, you know, on their way here right now. And we, you know, a lot of us are waiting for some radical, sudden, you know, lightning bolt that's going to just change everything. But, you know, I still keep leaning towards the fact that it's, you know, the Lord gathering his flock one by one, you know, as we see, you know, every week, just, you know, like this week, a couple more people, you know, subscribe to the Watchman Weekly Show. We're getting some subscribers to that new blog, you know. People are being drawn to this stuff, and it's all the Lord, because, you know, they will not hear thee. You know, the church is just completely, you know, caught up in this false flatteries doctrine that, you know, it's about to change. You know, it's getting very, very interesting as this thing is, you know, coming to fruition. You know, we're going to ultimately see where this thing ends up, where it's the man-child, you know, the manifest sons of God ascending. You know, we're getting into the New Age stuff here. This is the stuff Randy's been researching, and man, he's onto something. You know, I'm not gonna, because it's the same place I'm going to, because this end time body of spirit filled Christians, it's gonna make, you know, it's gonna be a recapitulation of the Book of Acts on steroids, because what happened in the Book of Acts is gonna happen again. Only it's going to be way bigger, because there's so many more people. You know, there's more in the evil army, and there's more in the good army, you know. And this is where this whole thing's heading. And this is the Valley of Armageddon. And, you know, how this thing manifests as far as the physical goes, I don't know. You know, and there again, I end up contradicting myself, because I do see, you know, I do see physical manifestations of this pale horse whose rider is death and hell and the diverse fourth beast. And we know that this thing's all these final kingdoms have progressed, and we certainly know that there has been physical bloodshed and physical you know, persecution, and you know, as the harlot you know, drunk with the blood of the saints, you know, has basically, you know, come to power, you know, complete power of the globe, you know, because this is what the big deal is now. This whole thing's global, and we've got the Vatican speaking out that we need a world government, and the whole move that the Vatican is you know, going to be setting up shop in Jerusalem. You know, I'm not going to, you know, I'm probably making a big mistake by just minimizing that all as deception, as far as a shell game goes. I mean, it is deception, but it's for God's purpose, and it's absolutely, you know, part of his plan. But as I say, what does it matter if, you know, the Pope moves his throne back to some type of temple in Jerusalem or whatever? None of it has anything to do with our soul. You know, what matters to our soul is our spiritual position and our spiritual, refusing of the spiritual mark of the beast, because, you know, we absolutely clearly show you that in our Mark of the Beast show, that, you know, accepting the mark of the beast, being able to buy or sell, is a matter of allowing yourself to be merchandise in the harlot religious system, because this is what this is about. The woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. You know, woe to them that make merchandise of you. You know, their salvation, their damnation lingereth not, and judgment, well, I'm paraphrasing now, in 2 Peter. It's not looking good for the merchandisers. You know, I posted a post on my Facebook page today about Billy Graham. Somebody was exposing him, and I said, yeah, Billy Graham, the Sam Walton of Christianity, you know, the mass merchandiser that, you know, perfected the art of altar call commitment. And, you know, this is doing wickedly against the covenant. You know, because I'll tell you, I've got, you know, got a hold of this, where we're at today, by my daughters. I've got three wonderful teenage daughters. They're all product of the harlot youth group mentality. And I'm teaching them about the covenant. You know, one, willingly, two, don't want to hear anything about it, but, you know, that's okay. But what I've done is, you know, brought my one daughter to the Valley of Decision. She knows. She knows what it means to enter into covenant with Jesus. She hasn't done it yet. She knows what's ahead of her. You know, and these are all girls that have, you know, gone through the turnstiles at the Harlot Church, and they're all being told they're, you know, saved. And I'm not, you know, one to judge, but I know, them, you know, and I pray that the Lord, I trust unto the Lord. And, but I'm here to tell you that, you know, only one of them understands salvation. And in that same respect, I've done my job. You know, I feel that I've brought that person, who's, you know, happens to be one of the most special people in my life, to the point of decision. You know, and that's what we're called to do. But see, this isn't happening in the church today. It's the decision is made for them. You know, they basically get enticed into the doors by the seven flavors of latte and the you know, awesome you know, rock and roll music. That's it. You know, they're in. And this is the problem. This is what Daniel was talking about those who do wickedly against the covenant. And so with that, you know, I just hope that you know, our the Lord continues to bless Watchman Weekly. We've got some exciting things ahead too, as far as you know. I'm really, you know, we were sharing about this over the last couple of months, but I was committed to the sound doctrine Bible studies. You know, probably going away from current events, because, you know, what can we say about current events anymore? It's just impossible to sort through the lies that are out there on the alternative and the mainstream media. You know, who knows what's really going on? But I'll tell you one thing. You know, I was talking with Randy this week, and he said that he's, you know, just under the mind that the Lord's just holding this thing back. And I agreed. You know, I absolutely agreed. And I believe we are in the final period of grace as this, you know, this beast, you know, industrial complex is, you know, set to pop. And, you know, where, how, where all the chips will fall, it's you know, going to be very interesting. But, you know, whatever the Lord's doing with this economy, and, you know, what it's going to take to wake up this television-induced coma zombie apocalypse that is the, you know, Christian church, what it's going to take to wake them up, you know, it's going to have to be something radical. And it's going to have to be something to do with their pocketbooks, And it's probably going to have to be something to do with a lot of people dying all around them. And it's happened before, and it's, you know, pretty confident this is where we're headed. As the, you know, all the signatures of the pale horse, the diverse fourth beast, are here. You know, I'm in the mind that we're at the end of this thing. We're at the end. And I really, as I'm going through these studies, I'm seeing a clear, defined 3.5 years. The Lord says it 3 different ways. You know, 42 months, 3.5 years, 1,260 days. I mean, that's all, 3 different ways of saying a physical period of time. I don't think that's metaphoric. And this is something that Bill and I disagree on. And Bill posted an awesome study on, you know, one of the other main doctrines that Satan has attacked is the 70th week of Daniel. And as I'm going through this now, and you'll see it now in the coming study, you know, I really see the 3.5 years was when the Messiah was cut off in the midst of the week. You know, I really believe that the final 3.5 weeks is the final half of the 70th week of Daniel. You know, it's the finishing up. There's so much reference to the indignation of the Lord, the third day, the tribulation, as the finishing up of things. And that, you know, not to diminish from the finished work on the cross, because the Lord's work of redemption, the atoning sacrifice, was finished on the cross. You know, Jesus sat down at the right hand of God. But as far as the application to the saints and the perfecting of the saints and the establishment of New Jerusalem, you know, this is all the process that culminates, in the during the tribulation. And I'm really leaning towards, and I'm just going to put out what I'm seeing. And again, you know, this takes you to take it upon yourself then to study and to see if what I'm saying is true, you know, with your relationship with the Lord through the Holy Spirit. But it's going to be exciting. You know, this stuff is just opening up. And, you know, we're seeing that the tribulation is it's grace. You know, tribulation is God's grace upon His people. And that He loves them that much that He will do whatever it takes, you know, to win them to Himself. But He will not impose His will upon us. You know, we have to, you know, seek after the Lord's will ourselves. And that's what this is about. It's not about doing Satan's will. It's about the fact that what Satan does is he gets us to do our will. Because we're here that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, the work of the church is to seek and to do the will of the Father. And that's the pattern that Jesus laid down for us. And I'm just going to wrap up the show tonight with some scripture, you know, to give us hope and give us encouragement to know that we're not alone. And as we talk about this information, you know, that makes us sick to our stomach, literally sick. I've been sick. You know, I've been in conflict with a couple church-going Christians over doctrine, and it just sucks the life out of you. You know, it just takes everything out of you, the energy, and but we just need to be encouraged, because we're not alone. You know, this has just been what all of God's servants have gone through time, and unfortunately this is what, you know, actually caused division in our own house here on Watchmen Weekly. And this stuff is brutal. Very, very brutal. And, but that's where we're at. And so that's why, and I would encourage, everyone to seek the Lord and not, be swayed any way by me. I'm just here putting out what the Lord's showing me. And, you know, if anybody wants to, you know, delete Watchmen Weekly from their favorites page or whatever, that's fine. But you know, I would hope that you wouldn't, and would stick with us here as we're excited about what the Lord's showing us. And I've got some other neat things coming up too. I've got heart to probably introduce some interviews of some people that I respect. And I've got Charlotte Iserbit coming on next week. And I, with having these teenage daughters and a little boy, I'm so aware of the education system and the Marxist indoctrination that's taking place there. And Charlotte has just been a voice in the wilderness for a long time, and just recently I've heard her interviewed, and she has just been they've been so rude to her because she preaches it. She talks about the Council on National Policy. She was a part of Reagan's administration and saw all this communist material come in and take over. And I'm going to give her a free rein to say whatever she's got to say. And it's exciting. Looking forward to that. I've got some other friends that were involved with the education system. And I'm going to have them on the show. Sharing what they've seen as the revisionist history has basically blotted out the truth there, where these kids have no idea what really happened. As far as the my studies, I've realized that the Civil War was the big turning point for America as far as the War of Northern Aggression. And they used slavery as a scapegoat, which was all deception. And this is all stuff that interests me and stuff I want to teach my kids. As far as the Lord, is this thing until the Lord tarries, or while the Lord tarries, we just need to be busily about His work. And the covenant is grace and truth, and I'm pretty much committed to both, to receiving that grace by my desire for the truth. See them go hand in hand, And then we'll see. I'm going to try to hopefully get Dean Gocher on the show. He's someone that's been very, very influential on me as far as his understanding of the dialectic Marxist process that has attacked the doctrines in the church, where the social has become the influence, the gospel by committee, where the elders' boards decide what the truth is. And he's very knowledgeable in that area, and then wherever else it leads. And we'll just keep on putting it out there as long as we can. And praise the Lord for everything He's shown us. But I'm going to just wrap up the show tonight with some of our patriarchs in the Lord that have gone through the same thing we're going through, and to take solace in the fact that we're not alone. Ezekiel, the Lord said, moreover, He said to me, "Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak to the house of Israel." So the Lord's telling him to eat this roll. That's symbolic of learn this, what the Lord's teaching them, and then go tell the house of Israel. Now, that's no different than what we're doing today. All these things happen, for example. The condition of Israel then is the same as the house of Israel today. And Ezekiel said, "So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat the roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey is for sweetness," which is the truth. The truth of this is sweet. The my quest for revelation from the Lord is sweet. I want it, even though it causes me incredible heartburn at times. "And it came to pass at the end of the 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me." I'm jumping ahead now. "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth, and give them warning from me. And when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked men shall die in the iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. So this is a warning to the watchman. You know, so we can't keep this stuff to ourselves. You know, we have to proclaim it. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. So, you know, this is why this is heavy. It's heavy. I mean, this is proclaiming that if we're not obedient, this is obedience here. You know, this is being obedient to the Lord. And this stuff just flows when you're in covenant with the Lord, because the law is written on your heart. And you don't have to sweat over every jot and tittle of the mechanics of this, because it flows out of your heart. And you will do this. But this is what the Christian walk is. You know, and unfortunately today, the Christian walk is a walk of warning. And it says, again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. And then it's talking about a snare there, that God says, God lays a snare. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sins, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. So this is requiring the blood on the watchman's hands. I mean, this is brutal stuff. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also, thou hast delivered thy soul. So, I mean, I'm sorry, I probably butchered that up a little bit there. You just got to go read it for yourself. But, you know, Ezekiel chapter 2, 3 is Ezekiel going out, carrying out the word. The Lord told him, don't look at their faces. Just preach my word to them. And then, you know, Jeremiah 50, verse 6, my people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away from the on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting places. See, this is what we're dealing with today. You know, these shepherds have corrupted the minds of the sheep with the flatteries. You know, because they're all part of this. But what did Jesus do? The 12 Jesus sent and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans either ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You know, verily, verily, I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. You know, the city that rejects them. You know, this is, so this is, you know, and this is what we're dealing with today, because we're rejected. You know, this truth is being rejected by the, you know, the puffed up, leavened harlot church that is increasing goods and in need of nothing. You know, they don't want to hear this stuff. But, it, you know, we can't stop. You know, we can't stop. We have to put this stuff out. And, you know, where are we heading with this Revelation 11? Why is this all happening right now? Because this material that we're in the middle of and where we're headed is all about what Daniel's talking about. And you're going to see this thing progress into the... I've got a pretty, you know, amazing understanding of Daniel chapter 7. It's, you know, praise the Lord, he gets all the glory for it. But, you know, I'm getting this, you know, and I'm gonna put it out in these shows coming up. And I just pray the Lord, and I would ask prayer from you guys that the Lord would lead me, you know. But this is neat stuff, but because it's here, you know. When Daniel said in chapter 7 verse 3, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one another. I mean, this is Revelation chapter 13. It's the beast up out of the sea. And actually, it's Hosea chapter 13, too. That's the real clincher here. You know, something the Lord's just been showing me the last couple months. It's amazing. It's right under our nose. But what's the deal? You know, Daniel, he's preaching this stuff. Hitherto is the end of this matter, as far as for me, Daniel. My cognitions much trouble me, and my countenance changed in me. But I kept the matter in my heart. See, this stuff is really tearing Daniel up too, you know? Daniel's getting all messed up from this. You know, we're not alone. This is brutal stuff. Isaiah 1:8, and the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. You know, we know that, you know, with our studies of Gog Magog, you know, the besieged city is the, you know, it's the church. It's the church without walls. The land of unwalled villages is the is the apostate church. Except the Lord of hosts had left upon us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we would have been like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings and rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks, or of lambs, or of goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand, to tread my courts? See, this is treading down the Son of Man. You know, this is what Isaiah was speaking out against, exactly what we're dealing with today. These people that are trampling the covenant underfoot. Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination to me. See, these are false sacrifices that, you know, the bloods of bulls and goats I do not desire. You know, a broken spirit and a contrite heart is a sacrifice that the Lord requires, that the Lord desires from us. And this is all twisted around today, you know. This is the abomination of desolation. Happened in 2 days, real time, in the harlot church. And, you know, I'm just giving an account, you know, of what Isaiah, you know, was dealing with. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. How has the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment. Righteousness lodged in it. But now, murderers. You know, that's talking about Habakkuk there, where, the law is slacked and judgment does never go forth. And, you know, this is what we're all dealing with today in the spirit realm, modern day Israel, apostate Israel, the church that is increasing goods and in need of nothing. And there's no judgment in the house. The house tolerates sin. And this is what God's dealing with right now. He's busy about this work, dealing with this stuff, because it says in Habakkuk chapter 1 that even though the law is slacked and judgment never goes forth, I will do a work in your day that if I were to tell you, you wouldn't believe it. And this is where we're at. You know, this is the finishing up of things. The third day, the indignation of the Lord. And, you know, how do we know when it's time? Well, you know it, that it's the time when there's a great falling away, you know. And this is the problem. The church doesn't realize that it's fallen away. It thinks it's awesome. You know, it thinks that all you're hearing out of the church is, whoopee, you know, praise the Lord. You know, send down your abundant blessings, O Lord. It doesn't realize that the true church is the church in the wilderness. It's in sackcloth and ashes. You know, and lamentations. You know, just agonizing over what they know is coming. The judgment that is already upon them. Not what's coming, but it's already here, and they don't even realize it. You know, the fact that these false doctrines out of the bottomless pit are the judgment. As a church with itching ears has heaped on itself, you know, teachers. And this is what it's getting. See, it's getting exactly what it wanted. It wanted this false doctrine. Well, it got it. Again, I'm just telling you, go to that, read that Gog Magog study on sounddoctrine.org with 1D. You know, this is all happening in real time right now. And this is what our full armor is for. You know, we have to have our loins girded with truth. We have to have all the pieces of the armor in place to stand up against this battle in heavenly realms raging right now. You know, the Gog Magog war raging right now in your corner church. You know, it's the truth coming against the lies. You know, it's not good. It's not pretty. And it's the same exact thing that all these prophets were dealing with. Jeremiah. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in thy belly, I knew thee. You know, Jeremiah was one of the few that were sanctified in the womb, you know, like John the Baptist and Jesus. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee prophet unto the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. You know, how many of us feel like this? You know, we can't do this, Lord. This stuff's too heavy. You know, but we're no different than Jeremiah. You know, the Lord trusted his stuff to him because he did it. And the Lord does it through us. And this is how we have to think and realize that all this stuff is happening through the Lord. And I'm talking to myself right now because I've had a couple rough days again. You know, kind of locked up over this, you know. Sending out an email to a pastor that I came back in contact with that, you know, I just cringe to think about what he's going to say back to me. But he's not saying it to me. You know, he's saying, and I got to say that I'm encouraged because I've been engaging a 501c3 pastor here in the last couple of weeks. And he's not wroth with me. You know, he doesn't hate me by this truth I'm teaching. He's challenged, doesn't understand it. But I'm going to just, you know, seek the Lord, be as wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove, and you know, see where he's heading, where this thing's heading, because you know, he's a pastor of a flock of a lot of people I love. You know, part of the church I was kicked out of. You know, he split from this same church, and he's over here in another church, you know, really good guy. We go way back. You know, this guy taught the singles ministry at the big church that I got started in when I first came back to the Lord. You know, after I, you know, sobered up in my early days, and you know, we're the same age, and we've been trekking this thing together. You know, and I just been exposing the Scofield Bible and the you know, the Peter Drucker, Rick Warren corporate, you know, takeover of the church. And you know, he's not getting it, but he's not ready to kill me yet. So right now I'm encouraged by that, see, because I've got plenty that are. Because this kind of information, you know, the religious system hates it. See, because this comes right against the whole structure. Because the truth comes against the church. Because if the church had the truth, it would crumble. It would be out of a job, you know, because the corporate church relies on people remaining in their flesh and remaining in their sin, even though it doesn't say that out loud, and heaven forbid they even think that, but you know, if people would repent and enter into covenant with the Lord by forsaking their lives, by losing their lives, entering into covenant with the Lord, they wouldn't need sex addiction recovery groups and divorce recovery groups and you know, whatever, you know what I'm saying? Because the Lord just you know, the Lord heals this with his blood. And you know, if that were to happen in a church, these programs would crumble, and that's the problem. You know, the church would work itself out of a job. So this is why this information does not get received very well by the corporate, you know, Christian industrial complex. But you know, it doesn't stop us from preaching it. I'm going to finish up with Jeremiah, and then we'll wrap this thing up. Jeremiah said he was a child, but the Lord said, "Be not afraid. Well, it says, "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee," saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, "Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." You know, and then Jeremiah, we know the story of Jeremiah. You know, they threw him in a well. What did Jeremiah deal with? And you know, verse 14, "Then the Lord said unto me, Out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land." Well, what's that? That's the Gog-Magog war, and it's not Russia, folks. That is the false doctrine. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 14, where the Lord is telling Jeremiah to prophesy the truth, to testify the truth. But the Lord said, "Out of the north an evil shall break." And we have shown clearly and conclusively that the army out of the north is the false doctrine that eats away at the truth and has come against Israel, spiritual Israel, the body of Christ, and has diminished the sound doctrine ultimately is the... did I just say ultimately and ultimately? You know what I mean. The ultimately It's the covenant doing wickedly against the covenant. The north, the evil out of the north does wickedly against the covenant. And this is what we have today. We got a, you know, churches full of people that have no idea what a covenant relationship means. And unfortunately, it's not going to end well for those that don't wake up to this. And, you know, why are we talking about this tonight? Well, it's because we've been spending the last couple months studying Revelation chapter 11. And Revelation chapter 11 was set up with the final three verses of Revelation chapter 10. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, shall make thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. And that's Revelation chapter 10, the seventh trumpet, the seven thunders, the servants, the prophets, prophesying this information into the peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. And where does this end up? Well, this is the information that explodes the deception of the beast, the false prophet, and the dragon that has got the entire globe in its clutches right now. And ultimately, we see the Christian right is the ultimate manifestation of this false prophet, causing them that dwell on the earth to wander after the beast whose deadly wound was healed. And I'll tell you, the information in this little book, I can't imagine it being anything more significant in the fact that the deadly wound was healed in 1948, as what we call the state of Israel, is actually the beast, ultimately the little horn, which is running the show today, because that little nation state of Israel, that is all but the 51st state of the United States, is the little horn controlling the 10 horns, and it's controlling this world government that is in place. And we're going to show you in Scripture the deep details as far as all this stuff is right there. The lion, the bear, and the leopard manifesting as the diverse fourth beast, which is the UN world power that emerged after World War II. And we could call this democracy. And today, as we're seeing the final crusades, which is what they are, wrapping up complete control of the world, as these rogue holdout nations are attempting to remain independent with their own currencies and independent monetary systems. You know, the world government will have none of this. And you know, they're about the business of toppling these final regimes and spreading democracy, you know, if you will, as a few people realize that democracy is the bad guy, and that what has been portrayed as freedom is essentially bondage. You know, we've been taken, one left. Well, taken means taken into captivity. And we've been taken into spiritual bondage by deception and many layers. But, what we see, democracy that has taken us from World War II, and what has taken us from Hugh Hefner to Lady Gaga, and from the Beatles to, whatever, to the modern, Christian rock music. That has completely corrupted the truth of Scripture, replacing even the thought of God, of the true God, of Jesus Christ. So, as we see this final chapter in God's work, as He is busily about finishing up. We just are encouraging you to tune in, and we are going to be as obedient and diligent as we can in bringing out truth of Scripture to give you the tools that we need to navigate through this perilous, perilous time. And until next time, this is Chris Ardern saying goodnight.